Live and Lansing, Jack Ebling is on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Scott Ebling and you, 1320 WILS. Trying to track down Kyle Malin, editor of MERS Newsletter and a columnist for City Pulse. Want to get his take on these numbers, and we still have some time between now and November 2nd, Scott, but time is starting to slip away, and we don't have a lot of opportunities for the Democrats to respond to these kinds of numbers. It seems as if it's a pretty steep hill to climb and a little bit tougher than it was during the primary. We know that Virge Bernero has had this kind of comeback before, but is going to need to really pull out a miracle now. So I know he is hoping that he can find an issue that's going to catch fire with the voters and certainly going to mobilize the base, and that's going to be absolutely essential. Very happy to welcome in the editor of the MERS Newsletter, Kyle Malin. Hello, Kyle.
Hey, how you doing, Jack?
Just fine. Glad we could catch up with you. I wanted to talk to you about this latest set of numbers that we've been talking about yesterday and today. 53-26%. That's more than a 2-1 edge for Rick Snyder over Virge Bernero.
Yeah, it's not very good. I mean, when you're collecting fewer percentage points than the margin that you're behind, it's never a good sign. He's behind 27 percentage points. And, you know, they really don't have a lot of options right now other than to try and attack this popularity that Rick Snyder seems to enjoy right now. He seems to be impenetrable from any type of attack up to this point. He's just been able to coast, I think, in the primary and up to now as kind of the lovable nerd who's coming at the governor's race as an outsider, as someone who's got an intellectual-type plan to get state government and the state of Michigan out of its current problems. And I think we're going to see here very quickly Virge Bernero and the Michigan Democratic Party trying to tarnish Snyder's image as being the type of outsourcer and corporate raider that maybe Dick DeVos was.
Well, in the primary election, finally Virge Bernero was able to tag Andy Dillon a few times, and he did that not just with abortion and stem cell, but also he was able to tag him with that Speaker of the Mess label, and that's a little bit tougher to do with someone who's been running a business.
Well, it's also some different and more difficult to do with somebody who's already kind of defined themselves. Snyder has already put down $8 million worth, roughly $8 million worth of television commercials out there in which he's been able to define himself to the public and has been able to say, hey, this is my background, this is who I am. Now, Andy Dillon went up on the air, but he didn't go up with that kind of a buy. I mean, folks were still kind of, you know, who is he? I mean, Andy Dillon didn't have a blank slate like Rick Snyder did. And so it's going to be a little bit harder. I mean, people already have their first impression of Rick Snyder, which is always the most important impression.
Right.
And so now if he doesn't go about this right, it's just going to backfire because people won't believe the attacks. And what they're going to say is that as a CEO at Gateway, Rick Snyder outsourced jobs to the Asian countries, and then also as he was a board member and an executive there, he cashed out on millions in dollars of stock options right before the floor dropped on their stock prices, and he made out with millions of dollars.
Fair charges?
Well, there was, you know, the outsourcing thing. I'm not quite so sure about. Did they bring jobs to China? Yes. Was he the CEO at the time? No, he wasn't. I mean, he was on the board. I mean, well, you can say, well, that's kind of splitting hairs, but then you can also say, I mean, what company of any major status has not outsourced at least something to the Middle East or to Mexico or something else?
Some people would say that the entire company was outsourced.
Yeah, well, and ultimately, I think they ended up being. I don't think Gateway really exists anymore.
Right.
You know, the charge on the selling the stocks before the bottom dropped on the prices, the insider trading type charge that they're going to level against him, was actually stemmed from a civil suit that was filed against Rick Snyder and the company of Gateway. And ultimately, that never really, I mean, that never went to trial. And I think that the matter was settled before it ever got a lot of exposure or a lot of light. But I actually looked into this quite a bit a year ago and looked at the documents, and there's no question that Rick Snyder did cash in a significant amount of Gateway stock months before, and we're talking a few months here, 5, 6, 7, 8 months before it was discovered that their company was kind of being held afloat by mystery numbers. So he said, and I asked him about it at the time, and he said, well, I was just trying to diversify my stock. I had no knowledge of what was going on, you know, but it was his company at a time. So, I mean, it's kind of questionable. I mean, it's at least a question to be raised. I think it's fair to at least raise the question.
Mm-hmm. Kyle Malin, the editor of MERS Newsletter, our guest on Ebling and You. Kyle, I remember talking to some Democrats just after the primary elections, and they were split. Some of them were happy that Rick Snyder had won because they found his politics more palatable than those of Mike Cox or Pete Hoekstra or Mike Bouchard. But they also said he was going to be tougher to beat because they weren't going to be able to use some of the traditional charges against him and really label him as being an extremist or a far-right candidate. And I guess this shows the importance of definition, as you say, and of campaign dollars.
Yeah, you know, that's very true. Rick Snyder is not the campaign or the candidate that the Democrats wanted. I think in order they would have rather had A, Mike Cox, number one, Mike Bouchard, maybe number two, then Pete Hoekstra, number three, and then Rick Snyder, number four. And Rick Snyder, for, you know, being more of a political moderate than those other candidates, and also because in this tough economy, it's hard for people to raise money. And so when you have millions of dollars of your own to draw from, as Rick Snyder does, it just makes the task all that much more difficult to get on the air. I just think about this. I mean, Rick Snyder was able to spend $8 million in the primary, and Verge Monero was able to spend one, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just, and that's just in the primary. And now we get on to the general election, and Verge is already behind in the polls. He's going to be scraping to get any buck that he can right now, whereas Rick Snyder can just pull out his wallet and he wants to run a commercial, or his campaign thinks it's a good time to run a commercial. Well, he'll just go ahead and do it. So, I mean, it puts him at a huge disadvantage to get his message out. And then also, it is so hard to define Rick Snyder as a diehard conservative, because he's not really. I mean, he's conservative, yes, but I mean, he's not a Kool-Aid drinker. He's not not someone that you can tag as just being an extremist firebrand. It's hard to do. I mean, if you look at his plans that he has out there, he's not necessarily a politician. He's not going to engage in the regular banter and rhetoric. I mean, he's got some specific ideas that he wants to accomplish, and it makes it a little harder. So you got to attack him on his character, which is what the Democrats are going to be doing here very shortly.
Kyle, we know that Dick DeVos spent more than $30 million of his personal fortune, and that was unsuccessful. But how often have you seen a non-incumbent who is spending one-tenth or less of the opponent and be able to pull it off?
God, you know, it's just going to be really difficult. But, you know, the Democrats and their friends in organized labor really don't really have another option, because, you know, it becomes, Verge is kind of tied now to the entire Democratic ticket.
Right.
And if Verge sinks like a rock and gets pounded by double-digit percentage points, that's going to hurt the state House races. It's going to hurt the state Senate races. It will impact Secretary of State and Attorney General. And really the big thing for the Democrats right now is they do not want to lose control of the state House. Right now they have a huge advantage in the state House of, well, I guess they have 65 seats to 42 seats right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if that were to evaporate to nothing and the Republicans were able to take control, the Republicans would have the ability to redraw the state legislative districts here in 2011 without any type of Democratic firewall, save maybe the Supreme Court if that stays in the Democratic hands. So they really just cannot lose the state House. But if Verge Monero loses by 15, 20 percentage points, even 10 percentage points, you're going to see some of those state House districts drop, and Democrats are going to be in a lot of trouble.
Kyle, a lot of people could run Rick Snyder's campaign right now. It takes someone with the wisdom of Kyle Malin to handle the other problem we're going to present. If you had one bit of advice for Virge Bernero and you were trying to give him something to cling to over between now and November 2nd, what would you tell him?
Well, he just can't stop, really. I mean, he just can't stop trying. And I think he's got to be as visible as humanly possible, and I think he's got to be in as many communities as humanly possible. You know, Rick has kind of gotten this corner on the market of these town hall meetings, mm-hmm. and they've gotten really good press in these local papers. And, you know, I think if, you know, when Verge gets to introducing himself to editorial boards, but also just getting out into communities and getting out as much as humanly possible, I think it helps. I mean, every time you get a good story in the newspaper about your plans and what you want to do,
right.
I think that's always positive. I just don't think he can stop getting out there and getting involved and trying to most, you know, as best as he can raise money. And, you know, he's got press releases coming out every day. That's good. He got a good headline, I think, in the Associated Press yesterday about right. Trying to call out Rick Snyder on signing on to some Obama measures. You know, he's just got to keep trying to do that. Just don't stop quitting.
Kyle Malin, editor of the MERS newsletter, our guest. Kyle, thanks for joining us. Talk to you next week.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Thanks, Jack.
All right. We'll be right back. Susan J. Demas of Capital Chronicles will be with us. Ebling and you, 1320 WILS.